This morning, if you would take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. I'm going to look at just one verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 3. Really, when I say we're going to look at one verse, we're really going to look at one word this morning. And the subject matter, this is a message that is of a topical type message. We take a topic, develop certain things from that. And what we do on Sunday night is exposition, verse by verse, word by word. But this morning we're going to do a topical message. And we read verse number 3, Hebrews chapter number 12. And the writer here says, "For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." The last part of that verse, I'm not going to be dealing with that primarily, but the last part of the verse says, "Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." It's very hard sometimes to do the work of the Lord. There are many things against us, primarily the devil himself, and all the things around his work and his actions, and sometimes it's very difficult to go forward in the work of the Lord. And sometimes it's very hard to do what we know we should do because of the animosity against us, because of the struggles that come to us. And so Paul here tells us that we better be careful or we will become weary and our minds will faint or we will give up, we'll quit. Now the reason that we are in that position is because we don't do the first part of the verse. That first part of the verse says, "For consider him." And this morning I want us to just look at that word, consider. The word consider is used frequently in the Bible. I think about 67 times in the entire Bible that word consider is in our text. Different verses, different things that are to be considered. 10 times in the New Testament. It just simply means to look closely or to look carefully, to think seriously about a subject or to think seriously about something that's being dealt with. It's to ponder or to regard. I'm sure people have come to us at different times and say, "Would you consider this?" Brother Ronnie McElroy back there, he deals in buying and selling things. Brother Ronnie, has anybody ever said, "Would you consider taking this amount for that particular object?" Sure you have. "Would you consider that? Would you think about, instead of $25, would you consider taking 10? Now, that might be too bad. That might be too much to consider. But what they say is, would you ponder the thought? Would you think about doing something different than what you are doing and what you have? And so that Paul writes here, "For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself." I want us to look this morning at some things that we ought to regard as important. Some things that we ought to consider in our walk with the Lord and the things that God gives to us and the blessings that He bestows upon us. Just to consider, and we'll end up with considering Him. If you would take your Bibles, turn over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to look at this word again. And verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Consider what I say. Now what is Paul, what has he just said? Paul is telling Timothy, this young preacher. Timothy is a young man, has been in the acquaintance and companionship with Paul for some time. And Paul is writing him a letter now, and he says to consider some things that I have said. Paul is sitting in prison. He's awaiting his death. He's awaiting the day that his life will end because he's been convicted. He has been sentenced to death. And he's sitting in prison, and he writes this letter to this young man whom he was a very dear friend. He called him his son in the ministry. And he's writing this young preacher, and he tells him there in verse number 7, "Consider what I say." Now, let's look in these first few verses of chapter 2, and we'll see what Paul has told him that he should consider, and it's something that all of us ought to consider also. You see, everything in the Bible, everything in the Word of God is not only for who it was written to, and this to a young man named Timothy, but if it's in our Bible, it's written to you and I. It's as important to us as it was to Timothy. And so we are to consider these things also. Verse number 1, Paul says to him, says, "Be thou my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." First thing that we ought to consider is that we be strong. As I mentioned a moment ago, sometimes it's difficult to be strong. Sometimes it's difficult when everybody seems to be on a different page and somebody's always saying things. But Paul tells to Timothy, he says, "My son, be strong." You see, we have a message from God's Word. We have a message from this book that's before us that we are to stand firm and be strong in the things of the Lord. And so Paul tells this young man, Timothy, said, "Be strong." And he says here, "Be strong in the grace." Thank God this morning for the grace of the Lord that has saved us. But He gives us grace every day to live. He gives us that working, serving grace every day of our life that we can serve Him, we can follow Him, we can do what He wants us to do. And God gives us that power or that grace that we can accomplish what He wants us to do. Sometimes the task seems very hard. Sometimes the task seems very, very difficult. And sometimes maybe we don't even understand all that's before us and why that this is happening in our life and why has this incident happened? Why has this occurrence come to me? But God gives us grace whereby we can accomplish what He has for us. But we have to be strong. Christianity is not any place for a weak individual. I know when we get saved, we are rejoicing and we have joy in our heart, and we should have, but then the battle begins. The battle starts when we trust the Lord. Difficulties will come because Satan is all of a sudden, he is your enemy, he's your adversary, he's not your friend like he was before, or at least he presented himself as a friend. So you've been taken out of his kingdom, you've been taken out of his domain, you've been placed into the kingdom of our God, and all of a sudden he comes at you with fiery darts. He accuses the brethren. He's the one that is always accusing us, and the accusations fly against us sometimes. And Paul says to Timothy, he says, "My son, you better learn how to be strong in the grace of God, to be strong in the wonderful message that God has given to us." Not only that, but in verse number 2 he says, not only be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and then he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." He tells him here in verse 2, he says, you are to consider not only to be strong, but you need to consider to be studious. Now, none of us like that. We don't want to be a student. We don't desire the work. We don't desire the work that it takes and the struggle sometimes that it takes just to learn, just to have some knowledge come to us. But Paul tells Timothy, he says, "In the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." Timothy, you know what I believe, you know what I've preached, you know where I stand. And he says, it's not only have you heard it, but it's been among many witnesses. And he says, now those same things that you've heard, you commit to faithful people. You commit to faithful men and women and to serving the Lord so that they might be able to stand firm and strong also and to be studious in the Word of God. So we are to stand strong. We're to be students of God's Word. We're to be willing to take the message to someone else, to commit thou to faithful men. And then it says, who shall be able to teach others also. So it's not just the preacher's responsibility to know. It's all of our responsibility to know. Because it's my responsibility to tell my family. It's your responsibility to tell your family. That your family, your children, as they grow, and one day they'll grow up and they'll be out of the house, and we see them go a different direction, and they'll have their family. And you know what they're supposed to do? The same thing you did, commit thou to them. That they might tell others. It is a continual process of preaching and giving and teaching and learning so that the generation to come might know the God in whom we serve. The reason that we're having so many difficulties in our country this morning is because somebody has not been faithful. It's because the pulpit has not been faithful. It's because preachers have not been faithful. It's because people of God have not been faithful. Paul says, Timothy, consider what I've said. Consider what I've said to be strong. And and to commit these things to faithful men. Verse number 3, verse number 4, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You and I this morning have been chosen of the Lord to fight the battle. Now I know there's some denominations and there's some song books that have no songs at all about fighting. Has no songs at all about war. No songs at all about conflict. But my friend, we are living in a contentious world. We're living in a world that is very set upon being against righteousness and holiness. And there is a battle that rages. There's a battle that goes on. There's a problem always before us. And so Paul says, Timothy, he said, "Be thou a good soldier to stand where God tells us to stand." And he says, we have been committed to these things and that we are a soldier of Jesus Christ. And that not only that we are committed to that, we have been chosen of Him to be a soldier. We're to be a battler. We're to be a fighter. Now, I don't believe we ought to go out and pick fight. Don't get me wrong there. But when somebody comes to us with something that's wrong, something that is anti-biblical and things that we know are wrong, then we need to stand for what's true and what's right. We need to stand and have our voices heard. The reason we're having so much difficulty in our country is because some of our soldiers have left their posts and they no longer stand. The Bible tells us here, Paul says, consider what I've said. Not only to be a soldier, but he says in verse number 5, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is not crowned except he strive lawfully." We are to strive for the things of God. I believe we ought to desire every blessing that God has for us. Everything that God has promised us. Our Sunday school lesson this morning is talking about rewards and loss of rewards. When we stand before God, we're going to stand there with our works. First Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that we're going to be judged of our Lord, and our works are going to either stand the test or we're going to fail the test, and we'll have rewards or we'll have loss of rewards. Now, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about rewards that God gives us. Our teachers sometimes in classes will reward their students if they do certain work and if they will get it done on time, if they'll do it right, and all the things, the details that they give out, and there'll be a reward of that. Well, the Lord has given us things to do. He gives us battles sometimes to fight. And one day we'll stand before Him. One day we'll stand before the very throne of God, and we'll have all that brought before us, and we'll have rewards for what we've done. And so Paul says here to Timothy, he says, strive lawfully. Strive, work, and serve. And of course, we know that works do not save us. Salvation is a gift of God. You can't work for a gift. If you have to work for it, it's no longer a gift. It's something you've earned. None of us have earned salvation, but God has given it to us, a gift. And we're to strive faithfully to serve Him and to have the blessings of God upon us. And then verse number 7, Paul says to Timothy, consider what I say. So we need to ponder, we need to look upon, look carefully, look seriously, to look closely, that's what the word consider is, upon these things that Paul told Timothy. We ought to be willing to try to be as strong a Christian as we can be. Will we falter? Will we become weak? Will we have problems? Sure we will. We're people. We are human flesh, and we falter and we fail. But we ought to strive for that which God has for us. We ought to be studious of the Word of God, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And so these things are for us. We're to be a good soldier. If we have to fight, then bless the Lord, we fight. If we have to go to battle for the things of righteousness, then we go to battle for that. And so we need to consider what's all involved in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy was a young student. Paul was the aged teacher. And Paul says, you better consider these things, Timothy, because you're going to face these things. We're going to face struggles. We're going to face battles. We may have a battle before this day is over. We may have a problem comes to us, as the news media says, of biblical proportions in our life. We may have difficulty. And the only way we can face that, the only way we can deal with that, is that the Lord has enabled us and equipped us to stand firm. And to do that, in the book of Ephesians, He gives us the whole armor of God that we're to have. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, our shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel, our thighs, the things that God has given to cover us that we might fight the battle, the sword of the Spirit, which we know is nothing more than the Word of God. If you'll read there in Ephesians chapter number 6, you'll find all the armor that God gives the child of God. It covers the head, it covers the face, covers the chest, covers the legs, covers the thighs, covers the feet. The only thing that it does not cover is the back. Because we're not to turn to run. We're to go forward. We're not to turn our back upon the enemy. We're to go forward. And as we go forward, we might have to use the shield. That shield of faith moves around. Wherever the fiery darts of the wicked one may be shot from us, we can take that shield and we can move it to ward them off, to defend ourselves in the spiritual realm. We may have to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We may have to watch out for the fiery darts of the wicked one. But He has promised us, I'll be with you to the very end. And so Paul says to Timothy, he gives him advice. We need to consider the advice that Paul gives to this young man, Timothy. Be strong, be studious, be a soldier, even have to strive for those things that God has for us. We need to consider that. The second thing is found in the Old Testament, and it's in the book that some people said didn't even know was in there. Because some of these books we don't use a lot. And we should. The book of Haggai in the Old Testament. Third book from the last book of the Old Testament. If you have Scofield Bibles, page 962. And so we have this chapter that tells us, we want to begin reading in verse... let's look at verse number 1. I'll give you time to find it. It's a little book. Couple of pages and you're out of it. Has a lot to say, but God can say a lot in a few words. The book of Haggai, chapter number 1, let's read verse number 1. In the second year of Darius, the king of in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. Now, this is during the reconstruction of Israel after the captivity. It says, unto Joshua the son of Zodek, the high priest, saying, so here's the word of God that's come to these men. And here's what God says. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, that the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time. People say it's not time. God says it is time. It is time, He says there in verse 4, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. God says you've gone out and you've worked hard in your fields. You've sown a lot, but you haven't got a whole lot from that. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. We can sort of identify with that, can't we? You learn wages and it's gone in just a moment. It's amazing how long it takes to make $100, how quick you can spend $100. Wages, putting bags with holes. Verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there's those words again, consider your ways. What does that mean, consider your ways? Well, I believe probably more than anything else, we need to consider our lifestyle. How are we living for the Lord? What are we doing for the cause of Jesus Christ? They are in the midst of rebuilding the city of Jerusalem, and the people say it's not time to build the house of God. We want to take care of our own houses first. They were more self-consumed with what they wanted than they were the spiritual things that had been given to them by their ancestors, sort of where we are today in many areas. And so the Lord here, through Haggai and these other two men that are mentioned, He gives the word of the Lord to them, but God says it is time. You see, sometimes our timing is not like God's. We think, well, we can't do it, and God says, yes, you can. And so God says it is time to do that, and you have struggled, you have worked, you have gone out and sown, but you haven't reaped very much. You drink and you're not filled. You're still thirsty. You put clothes on, but you're not warm. There's still an emptiness there. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I've done so many things, I've tried so many things, but I feel empty inside. You know why? Because they've tried to fill it with things they do instead of what God says to do. And so, here this prophet, the Lord says, through this prophet, consider your ways, your manner of living, how you treat God's Word, how you treat God in particular. And they certainly were not treating God in a very good way. They were more consumed with themselves. We call it selfishness. We call it taking care of self and letting everything else go. And here God says to His people, He says, you need to realize your way your life, how you're living your life, how you're treating God, what you think of yourself. And sometimes, as the Bible says, sometimes we think too highly of ourselves. Sometimes we put ourselves way up here. Well, really, we're way down here. But in our eyes, in what we see and what we desire, we think we're doing pretty good, but God says not doing so well. So consider our ways, our way of life, our treating of the Lord, our thinking of ourselves, and then also our thinking about others. Thinking about people that have the great need of salvation. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. The reason for doing that is that they might hear the gospel. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Nobody will ever get saved unless they hear this book. Nobody will ever come to know Christ unless they hear about Him out of the Word of God. And so He tells us to go and to do that. And that's thinking about others. The flags that you see hanging around this auditorium represent just a small portion of the missionaries that we support. We couldn't hang up all the flags. We don't have room for them. We don't have the space for them, but we're thinking about others in a spiritual realm. We're thinking about the tribes that maybe have never heard the gospel in Africa. We're thinking about those that are well refined in some of the places around this world that are very high class people. But they need the gospel just like I needed the gospel. Whether they live in a hut or they live in a mansion, they have the same need, and that's salvation. And so we have to consider how we think about others, not only around the world, but think about others around us. People that we have contact with every day of our life and every week of our life, we come in contact with folks. We just need to be considerate of them and to realize sometimes they do what they do because they know no better. The reason they act the way they act is because they're acting natural. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. And if they do not have the Holy Spirit living inside, they can't act spiritual because they are not spiritual. And so we're to consider others, and sometimes God will give us opportunity that we can just give a word of testimony. I'm not talking about putting them down to where they have to sit there and listen to a message. I'm just talking about a lifestyle that lets people know we love God. That says volumes, other than volumes that we say. And so our lifestyle, and God told Haggai to tell the people of Israel, not only did He tell them once, He told them twice. In verse number 3 and verse number 7, God says, consider your ways. What was they to do? They were to change their ways. They were to put their emphasis on the spiritual things. And so they were to consider their ways. Paul said, consider my advice. Haggai says, the Lord says, consider your ways. Over in the book of Luke, chapter number 12. We'll turn there. New Testament, Luke chapter 12. Verse number 24, the first word is consider. Luke chapter 12, verse 24. Consider the ravens. Isn't that interesting? Consider a bird called a raven. He tells us to look at how they act and how they live. Let's read the entire verse. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. I like the last part of the verse. How much more are ye better than the fowls? God says, just look to the skies, and we can just say it this way. Look at the birds. They don't sow. What they eat is just provided for them. They don't reap. They don't go out and gather into barns. They don't have a storehouse. They don't have a bank account. They don't have all those things for a rainy day. They just do their thing, and they're taken care of. And then the Lord uses that illustration, how much more? Well, I'm so glad this morning I'm more important than the fowls of the air. I'm glad God can take care of me, whatever position I find myself, whatever condition I come in contact in different ways of life. If I lose finances, God knows all about that. If I lose health, God knows all about that. If I lose whatever, God knows all about that. Consider the ravens. They don't work for it. They don't toil for it. They don't gather it in. But God says they're taken care of. And He says there in that verse, what a wonderful passage that is. How much more? How much more important are we than the fowls of the air? The word raven, I looked it up, and it's an interesting contrast sometimes of how God uses it. Ravens, first fowl that's mentioned in the Word of God. Remember, Noah sent out a raven out of the ark. I find a few chapters over in one of the, I guess, first or second Kings. We find Elijah is down by the brook, and God feeds him with what? Ravens. Ravens bring the food to him. Luke says they have no storehouse, they have no barn, and we are to consider how God takes care of them. I don't believe there's a one of us in here this morning that could say God has not been good to me. God has blessed me. God has blessed all of us. We have material things. We have family. We have loved ones. We have friends. We have ability to do so many things that most people in the world do not have that. We go get in our car and go where we want to go. In many places in the world, you can't go where you want to go. You have checkpoints and all those. And most of those countries don't even have cars that you get into. We have abundance of things. Consider the ravens and how much more God loves me. God cares for me. God cares for you. God loves you. God loves me. God takes care of us. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I may not understand, but praise God, He does understand. I heard Dr. David Jeremiah this morning on one of the TV programs, and he was talking about sometimes we get so troubled about our world. He said, we'll come to church and we'll sing, He's got the whole world in His hands, and we go home and can't sleep because my world's a mess. He is good. I like David Jeremiah. He said, we sing about God has control of everything, and we go home and can't sleep because we think everything's out of control in our life. Consider the ravens. If He can feed them, He can feed me. David said, I was young, and now I'm old. And he said, I've never seen God's children begging bread. You know what he meant by that? He's never seen God would not supply. Now, we may not have everything we want, but God supplies our needs in order to exist. Well, I'd like to have a T-bone steak. God may give you a hunk of bologna, but you won't starve to death. And if we're faithful to the Lord in that, next time He may give us a T-bone steak. You see, God blesses us. God honors us with what He does for us. And Jesus said, consider the ravens. That's pretty important if the Lord Himself would bring up the fowl of the air, which is not a beautiful bird. It's not a great bird. It's not an eagle. It's a raven. God says, consider the raven. They don't have barns. They don't have bank accounts. They don't have the things that we have. How much more the Lord loves us. How much more He does for us. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Consider the ravens. If you go down just another verse or two, in that same passage in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, the Lord says, verse 27, first word, consider. Think on. Meditate. Look at it. Consider the lilies. How they grow. They toil not. They spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. The lilies of the field. The Lord said, would you consider the ravens? Now in contrast, He said, would you consider the lilies? He says, the ravens, you consider them for food they bring. And the lilies are considered for raiment. They toil not, they spin not, yet they are beautiful. If God clothed them, how much more He can take care of us. The spring, I love spring. The early part of spring, the flowers begin to come up out of the ground. Those that you'd planted before, and sometimes you forget where they are, and all of a sudden you see them come out of the earth. And you look out one day, and they're just there, and not much beauty, and the next day or so, they've bloomed out. Consider the lilies. They spin not, they toil not. But yet they beautify the land. They beautify the property. We spend multiple dollars in springtime to replenish some of the flowers that have died in the fall, in the winter. We do that to our grounds so that our grounds will look good. And I like it. I don't like to deal with flowers much, but I like to look at them. But somebody has to do it. Thank God for those that do. I like for things at church to look neat and proper. I think it's a great thing. We just had our grounds redone this past week. We put out new mulch. We had things trimmed up. And if you didn't notice it, I'm sorry, because it looks pretty good. I noticed it all I could stand, so we got somebody to do that. Consider the lilies. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith, what? Content. If we just have food and clothing, God has given us that. Consider those things that are so very important to the life of an individual. And then lastly, we'll go back to our text. And I'm there in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, in verse number 3. Consider Him. That's the most important part. Consider Him. Who's that? Well, that's Jesus Christ. Consider Him. He is the subject to be seriously examined, to look closely and to look carefully at and consider Him. God says in the Old Testament, I used it last week, God told Israel, said, come now, let us reason together. Let's consider Him. Consider Him. He's God. He's man. He's Savior. He's our teacher. He's our example. He does all things for us. Consider Him. Consider His words. Consider His deeds. Consider His love, His sacrifice. Consider His goodness, His kindness. Has God ever spoken anything to us in a wrong way, in a wrong manner and method? No. He's considerate of us. He knows my frame. When He made man in the dust of the earth, and He made him in the image of God Himself, He breathed into man the breath of life. He became a living soul, and God considers us. He knows my needs. He knows my desires. He knows my hurts. He knows my harm. He knows all those things that come to me. And now all He asks me to do is consider Him. He's been very considerate of me. He's given me about anything I'd ever want. I need to consider Him. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, and we'll close, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. May God help us to know Him, to consider Him, to love Him, to accept Him. Let's stand together this morning.